In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our gospel this morning tells the story of the feeding of the 4,000. In it, we hear that a great multitude had followed our Lord for 3 days. They were now hungry and without food. And our Lord looks upon them with compassion. And he tells the disciples, if I send them away fasting, they might faint on their way home. And the disciples look at him and say, how could men find anything to feed this many people with in the wilderness? And there's some irony here. If you were just to read St. Mark's gospel through, you would notice that 2 chapters earlier, our Lord fed 5,000 people with 12 loaves. And so I would expect the disciples here to say, Lord, there's a lot of hungry people here. We went ahead and counted. We have 7 loaves. Do what you do. Do what you have already shown us you can do and feed these people. But that's not how they approach him. And I see in this account a humility in the apostles. They are writing this narrative. They could have depicted themselves or this story in any way they saw fit. They seem comfortable showing their slowness to learn. And I think there's something we can learn from them. We just read a pretty astonishing story here together. Our Lord took 7 loaves and some fishes and fed 4,000 people. And then they gathered up the leftovers and it filled 7 baskets worth. And if you're like me, when you hear this story, you might think, well, of course, yeah, our Lord fed the 4,000 people. Something about this has become normal to us. Maybe it's because we've heard it before many times. Maybe it's because we found some comfortable way to rationalize it. Like, this is symbolic language. We don't know how many people were there. Makes us more comfortable to think about it that way. Maybe we're distracted by our own thoughts and things happening in our life. So I want to invite you this morning to stop for a moment and actually just picture this scene. There's 4,000 hungry people gathered. The disciples have 7 loaves and a few fishes. Our Lord blesses the food and distributes it through the disciples to the hungry people. After everyone has had their fill, the disciples gather up what's left, and there's 7 baskets full. Maybe this is just me, but I find this kind of story hard to believe. It's tough to comprehend. I think that's true for all of us if we're paying close enough attention. And I think that's because everything else we've ever seen diminishes. Time diminishes. The earth diminishes. Material diminishes. The more you use, the less you have. This is how we teach kids math. If there's 4 birds sitting on a fence and 2 fly away, how many are left? Things diminish as they go away or as they are used up. And so there's a way in which this story breaks the pattern of everything else we've ever seen. You might say it exceeds expectations. And I don't mean that in a dull kind of performance review way, like, well, he did a little better than we thought he might. I mean that, and it breaks the categories of how we understand the world. G.K. Chesterton, in his book Orthodoxy, which if you haven't read, I highly recommend, but he talks about how truth, how orthodox Christianity is surprising. It doesn't totally meet a predictable pattern. And he gives the example of some other kind of creature observing a human for the first time. And in trying to understand what we are, this creature begins to examine and notices this symmetry outwardly, two eyes, two ears, two arms. The things that are one are symmetrical. So he begins to peer in, to dissect, you might say. Sorry, this isn't a pretty image, but it's the analogy. He sees two lungs, this sort of life-giving, air-pumping thing, meets what you would expect. But as he peers closer, he begins to see that sort of at the heart of this, the very thing that pumps life in and through this being, the heart, there's only one. And it's not in the middle. And it's not symmetrical. And somehow this is how truth works. Just when you think you begin to observe a pattern and can predict what you might find at the heart of things, there's a surprise. We spend a lot of our energy analyzing, trying to predict, trying to control variables, predict outcomes. And this is useful in many disciplines, farming, investing. There's a pattern to reality. There's an order in which God made our world. And when we live in light of this pattern, things usually go well. But I think if we're honest, all of us have experienced times where something does not make sense. Something seems to not fit the pattern. We find something that we did not expect, that seems to challenge the way we thought about everything up until that point. And I think it's in these moments where we should slow down. These are the moments in which our Lord is perhaps most clearly at work. And I think all of the things at the heart of our faith sort of fit this. The incarnation, the resurrection, the ascension, our Lord's virgin birth. These things break the pattern of what we would expect if we observed everything else. And I've been speaking all along about these things as if they break the pattern. These mysteries, these events, these miracles. And in a way, they are pattern breaking. But I think our gospel this morning invites us to look up, to keep our eyes fixed on things above, to not store up for ourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, but instead to store up for ourselves treasures in heaven. And so what if these things, things like the incarnation, things like the feeding of the 4,000, are actually the pattern? These are the things that make the most sense. What if the feeding of the 4,000 is what a real meal looks like, where God gives of his abundance to feed the hungry in a way in which it's not diminished as each take their fill? What if that's what a real meal is? And every time we gather at our table and partake of a meal, we call it a meal because it looks like this real thing. We have a reflected image of what a meal truly is every time we come to our tables. What if in baptism, the waters that are poured upon us are not some outlier, but we actually see in baptism what water truly is, this life-giving substance through which God pulls life out of death. And every other time we see water, we call it water because it looks like this real thing, the thing that God brings life out of. What if the bread and wine that we offer this morning and ask our Lord to bless it and to distribute, to give life and redemption through, what if that is bread and wine being most truly bread and wine, the body and blood of our Lord? What if all of these things are really and truly God's gift through his beloved Son? And the things that we experience day in and day out are reflected, refracted pictures of these real things? What if our pain and suffering, our own struggle against sin and temptation, is actually our sanctification? What if it's actually our growing in union with God through Christ? What if the scarcity and vanity, the temporality and corruption that we see everywhere in our world is really just a distorted image of what's really going on? That there's this great, abundant, full, eternal, perfect, and undiminishing love poured out by God. What if He is offering life through what might seem to look like death? I think this is the reality of our world. This is the reality that the feeding of the 4,000 invites us to consider. So I invite you this morning to come. You've been given another opportunity to glimpse the world as it truly is. That God is reconciling the world to Himself through Christ. He's given the gift of His beloved Son. Through His body and blood, you are made perfect and good and clean, despite what may be apparent on the outside. Come, friends, this morning and receive life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.